Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As you go there, I'm going to read a verse from Jeremiah 9. My dad taught a teaching recently and was keyed off of this verse, and it just got me thinking. Jeremiah 9:23, I'm going to read, you can listen, and then we'll go to Corinthians. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Go to Corinthians chapter 1, please. We're going to start in verse 17. And here in Corinthians, Paul is still kind of in the introduction phases of the letter here, but in verse 17 it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." I want to stop here for just a minute. I think all of you understand the cross goes for all that was accomplished there. All that Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross in taking yours and mine and the sin of Adam to the grave, with the ultimate hope that he was raised from the dead and we have new life through him. So this cross, the word cross there represents all of this. It says that it was not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Verse 19, it says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brothers, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh or no person should glory in God's presence." And then this beautiful verse in verse 30, it says, "But of him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord." Isn't that cool? This gospel that we preach and that we believe, it came to us in weakness and foolishness. If you actually stop and you think about who our Lord Jesus Christ was, right? He was a Jewish man. and the Jews were under captivity of Rome. He was a poor Jewish man. He was of what people thought illegitimate birth. And then he begins his ministry, and at the end of his ministry, all of his followers had left him, right? His family, during that his ministry, had rejected him. His hometown thought of him very little. And then he goes and he's accused, and he doesn't even stand up for himself. And then he's beaten, and then he's put on a cross, and he dies there alone. Not alone, we know God was with him, but no man was with him. You realize how foolish that seems? And yet, in that moment, in that obedience to God and giving of his life, he was literally accomplishing the greatest task a man could have ever accomplished, and that is to bear all the sins of mankind. Pretty amazing. But from the worldly perspective, pretty darn foolish and weak. And yet, in obedience to God, such great strength. Philippians 3, please. Go to Philippians 3. And while you're holding in Philippians 3, I'm going to pop over to Colossians for a second here. It's not too far away, so if you want to turn there, you can. This is an additional verse. You get a bonus verse in here. Colossians 1 and verse 27, it says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And then it says in verse 28, this is beautiful, it says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ." And then Paul writes here, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which he works in me mightily." Isn't this an incredible couple verses here? 28 and 29, it describes who it is that we make known. And it's Jesus Christ. To the world, it's foolishness, because you have a man dying on a cross. But to those of us who are saved, it's the power of God. That's what it said in Corinthians, right? It's the power of God. And we make him known, teaching every man in all wisdom. Whose wisdom? God's wisdom, right? "That we may present every man mature in Christ, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." Who's working? God's working, right? Go over to Philippians 3, please. And Pete had taught here in Philippians 3 last week, and this verse stuck out to me. I'm going to just get a running start in verse 1. It says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." And then this beautiful verse here, verse 3, it says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice or boast in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Isn't that cool? How much confidence in the flesh? No confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. The thing that got us our salvation to begin with was a work of God. God at work in our Lord Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The whole thing is by grace. You know, and something that stuck out to me the last couple of weeks too, is we've considered Jesus Christ in the garden and his own recognition of his own inability and weakness in his flesh to do what it was that God had called him to do. right? But God's ability to work, to strengthen, to provide even for our Lord Jesus Christ in that moment, so ultimately he could do what it was that God had called him to do. And by doing so, brought salvation for every single one of us in this room. Mm-hmm. And now we are called by what this thing that God has done and then raising his son from the dead, we are called to live this life, to make known Jesus Christ, to serve God, but it's not going to be by our flesh. In fact, it cannot be by our flesh that we serve him. It will be by way of the Spirit of God, by his grace, through faith. Because that's how this whole thing started, and it's the only way it's going to happen. Finish in our lives, right? How beautiful is this verse 3? I love how it says here, we rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Pop over to John 6. I think Pete alluded to this verse. I don't know if we went there last week, but we're going to go there today. John 6. Starting in, I think we'll start in verse 60, just again to get a little context. The Lord Jesus Christ had just laid out how he was the bread of life, that people needed to come and eat his flesh and drink his blood if they wanted to be part of him, which is a hard thing for unspiritual ears to hear. And in verse 60 it says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? And I might add here, look, verse 61, who is it that murmured? His disciples. Those are the people that were following him. They murmured at it. They had a hard time with it. He said, does this offend you? Verse 62 says, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickens or makes alive, gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Isn't that cool? How much does the flesh profit?
Nothing,
right? That's a hard one, because we live life here on this earth. We live life in the flesh. I've got a body. I wake up in the morning. I get this body out of bed. You know, we live our life in our body, and we know how to, you know, put our shoulder to the plow, for lack of a better word. We know how to work hard and go after things with our flesh. That comes very naturally from the time we're born, right? But here, being born again, we've been born into new life. That's the Spirit of God that comes in that day. And now we're called to walk by the Spirit of God. And of course, we still are living in our bodies. And so that can be a challenge sometimes. But here it's saying the flesh, and that flesh, it profits nothing. Without the Spirit, there is no life. It profits nothing. Pretty wild, huh? In Philippians 3, it says we have no confidence in the flesh. And I wanted to look at that a little. So we read through last week, through some of chapter 3 here, and how Paul then lays out in the flesh his qualifications that he could have if he relied on them, right? And I'll tell you, there's really two ways that people rely on their flesh. At least that I could think of. Maybe you can come up with another one. But you either point to something and say, look, here, this is what gives me value. This is what enables me. This thing in my physical makeup or mental or psychological or philosophical makeup or whatever that allows me to do whatever it is that we're talking about, right? So I can rely on my body like Paul was relying on his. He was saying, I was a Jew of the Jews, Hebrew of the Hebrews, Pharisee. You know, I had all the right education. I had all the right lineage. I had all the zeal. Those are the things that he could in his flesh rely upon. Okay? And then sometimes I look at myself and I say, gosh, Jim Janovec's pretty not real smart, not great looking. not physically fit, you know, don't have all what I see might be necessary to be on the level of a Paul or on a level of anybody else that I admire in this body of Christ, right? And I could let what isn't there tell me that I'm not capable of walking by the Spirit. You see? But either way, what am I relying on?
Flesh.
The flesh.
Flesh.
And I'm called not to rely upon the flesh. Right? I think about it in you know, sometimes that's, at least in my own personal prayer life, a lot of times I'll just ask Father to help me. Help me not rely on the things that I think I'm good at, and help me to not disqualify myself because of the things that I'm not. Because He's able. He's able to do in you what you're not able to do in yourself. Yeah. Let's go over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, please. And we'll start in verse 20. Verse 20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And look at this beautiful verse. Of course, this is Paul. He's speaking by revelation. But he's expressing something from his own perspective. I, Paul, am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, Paul, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I, Paul, now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, Paul, and gave himself for me, Paul. You see that? He's referring to himself. And we can rightfully insert ourselves into this scripture. You know, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, Jim Janovat, and gave himself for me. Isn't that cool? Yeah. This is a very personal word of God. Go to 2 Corinthians, please. Second Corinthians chapter 12. You know, our strength, you know, in any form doesn't qualify us to walk with God. And our weakness in any form doesn't disqualify us from walking with God. I want you to see this. This is a section all very familiar to all of you, but it's one that I often go back to in my own life. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 7 here, it says, And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Take note here, first off, that Spirit of God in you is not something that the devil can touch. All that God accomplished through Jesus Christ in His death and His resurrection is a finished work. So if there's a thorn here, it's simply a thorn in the flesh. But you weren't called to walk after the flesh anyways, were you? Nor was I. Then Paul, in verse 8, he says here, he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And what I always think, and I'm going to read, actually, let me read verse 10. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And I often think about this verse. I think, well, when am I not weak in reality, in my abilities, my flesh, right? If I at some point start thinking I am strong, then I probably should be careful. Because I'm not. You know, in comparison to God, my strength, even in the things that I'm strongest at, is still very weak in comparison to God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Just like it said there in Corinthians, it said the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man, you know? And so what I love about this section is that Paul was dealing with something in the flesh, in life, right? And we deal with stuff. And it can have sometimes a great impact on our attempt to be walking with God and to living this life. We all experience things. Sometimes it's grief. Sometimes it's good things even. Sometimes it's, you know, it's a mix of things, distractions, other things, right? What I love about this is what Paul did with it. What did he do? He goes to God for help, right? I think actually the Lord, in this case, it's saying, am I right? It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, right? In this case. But the point is, he's going to prayer. He's going to ask for help. And the answer is that the Lord Jesus Christ's sufficiency would be what he needed. You know, and that's the same answer for all of us. We're going to be provided. God is going to provide for us what we need. You know. So in an attempt here, you know, in an attempt here to walk with God, it's going to take a vibrant prayer life, is it not? You know, we're taking these things, both strengths and weaknesses, and taking them to God. You know, as it talks about that in Hebrews, right? And we read that the last couple of weeks about finding grace to help in time of need, which is pretty much all the time. Unless one of you have figured it out, because I haven't figured everything out yet. Yeah, in this walk. So in that, just recognizing the recognition of your own inability in your flesh should then drive you to the throne of God to seek for help and seek for his grace and his ability, right? And your answer will be found in his word. Your answer will be found in his word. You know, and whether found strictly in this book, or whether it's something that God works in you and gives you understanding about, he's going to have the answers for you. So it's his strength in our weakness. Pretty awesome. Go back to 1 Corinthians, please. First Corinthians, back to chapter 1, please. I love this back verse 28 again. It says, "The base things of the world and the things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, the things which are not to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Makes me think of that verse where it talks about, where is that now? That the exceeding power might be of him, God, and not of us, right? That's the point, right? We're going to find everything we need in his word and in that relationship with him. Jeremiah said, right, don't boast in your strength, physical strength. Don't boast in your wisdom, mental strength. Don't boast in your money, worldly possessions. But if you're going to glory, you're going to boast. Boast in this, that you know him, right? And the beautiful thing about knowing him is I don't just know about him. You don't just know about him. We know him, right? So something comes up, a weakness, something I'm struggling with, something, maybe even a strength, something that my temptation is to rely upon. These are things we take to the throne of God in prayer. We ask him to teach us, to show us, to work in us, and he will provide strength in our weakness to live this Christian life, to make Jesus Christ known. Him we preach, right? Pretty cool. It's a good life. I find all the things that you want to be able to accomplish in Christian living that you find yourself struggling, it's a good bet that you stop and you ask God to work and show you and teach you. Because this thing is done, it's both received when we first receive the new birth by grace, and then it is lived out by grace. Isn't that cool? And it's not the flesh. It's going to be the Spirit of God in you. That makes the impossible possible. So, the things that we read in here, sometimes it just seem like incredible. I cannot believe that that could take place in a person's life. It's because God's at work. It's not because the flesh has got the ability. Right? So, that's what I want to share this morning.